Welcome to Zichru Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos Daf Ayin Tes. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Nachman told Rava that unprocessed hide has the same minimum shear to be liable for carrying as processed hide, which is the amount to make a kameya. He brings a proof from a Mishnah later on that teaches that the minimum shear of malabin, of whitening wool, menapetz, disentangling it, and tzoveya, dyeing it, is the same shear for toves, spinning the thread, since the raw wool stands to be spun to thread. So here too, in the case of unprocessed hide, it shears the same shear as tanned hide, since it stands to be tanned. Point number two, is taught in the Brice regarding which parts of the tefillin render one's hands tameh when touched. In keeping with one of the 18 enactments learned earlier on, the Tanakhama says the straps of the tefillin make one's hands tameh when they're attached to the tefillin. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, that only touching the katzitza, the leather boxes, renders one's hands tameh. And Rabbi Zakeh says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that one's hands only become tameh if they touch the mezuzah, the scroll of the tefillin itself. And point number three, is taught in the Brice that it is halacha l'moshe misinai, that tefillin must be written on klef, which is the outer layer of the hide, and a mezuzah must be written on duchsustus, which is the inner layer of the hide. When one writes on the klef, he must write on the side of the klef that originally faced the flesh of the animal, and when writing on duchsustus, he must write on the side that originally faced the hair of the animal. This price was brought as one of the many challenges to Rav, who said that tefillin may also be written on tuchsustos. The Gemara deflects his challenge by saying that the halacha Moshe Misinai may be only stating how to fulfill the mitzvah of writing tefillin in the best way possible. However, tefillin written on tuchsustos may still be kosher. So once again, the three points are: number one, Rav Nachman told Rava that unprocessed hide has the same minimum shear to be liable for carrying as processed hide, which is the amount to make a kameya. It brings a proof from a Mishnah later on that teaches that the minimum shear from malabin, which is whitening wool, menapetz, disentangling it, and soveya, dyeing it, is the same shear for tova, spinning the thread, since the raw wool stands to be spun into thread. So here too, in the case of unprocessed hide, it shears the same shear as tanned hide, since it stands to be tanned. Point number two is taught in Brice regarding which parts of the tefillin renders one's hands tameh when touched, in keeping with one of the 18 enactments learned early on. The Tanakhama says the straps of the tefillin make one's hands tameh when they're attached to the tefillin. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, that only touching the katzitza, the leather boxes, renders one's hands tameh. And Rabbi Zakeh said, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, that one's hands only become tameh if they touch the mezuzah, the scroll of the tefillin itself. And point number three was taught in a Braisa that it is halacha l'moshe misinai that tefillin must be written on klef, which is the outer layer of the hide, and a mezuzah must be written duchsustos, which is the inner layer of the hide. When one writes on the klef, he must write on the side of the klef that originally faced the flesh of the animal. And when writing on the duchsustos, he must write on the side that originally faced the hair of the animal. This price was brought as one of the many challenges to Rav, who said that tefillin may also be written on duchsustos. The Gemara deflects this challenge by saying that the halacha l'moshe misinai may be only stating how to fulfill the mitzvah of writing tefillin in the best way possible. However, tefillin written on duchsustos may still be kosher. All right, so now we go to our simon. In this case, for Ein Test, the most popular suggestion was 8, a pen. So we're going to do that, but we're going to change a little bit to a scribe with a quill. That'll be our pen, a scribe with a quill. So here goes. The rookie scribe took his quill and practiced writing on an unprocessed hide, the size of a kameya, when all of a sudden he realized his hands were tummy from touching his tefillin scrolls that were written on klef. Once again, in slow motion. The rookie scribe took his quill. Rookie scribe taking his quill, that means Rondav, Ein Test. The rookie scribe took his quill and practiced writing on an unprocessed hide the size of a kameya, which reminds us, Rav Nachman told Rava that unprocessed hide has the same minimum shear to be liable for carrying as processed hide, which is the amount to make a kameya. He brings a proof from a Mishnah later on that teaches that the minimum shear for malabin, for whitening wool, menapetz, disentangling it, and soveya, dyeing it, is the same shear for tova, for spinning the thread, since the raw wool stands to be spun into thread. So here too, in the case of an unprocessed hide, it shears the same shear as a tanned hide, since it stands to be tanned. So the rookie scribe took his quill and practiced writing on unprocessed hide, the size of a kameya, when all of a sudden he realized his hands were tummy from touching his tefillin scrolls, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brice regarding which parts of the tefillin renders one's hands tummy when touched, in keeping with one of the 18 enactments learned earlier on. The Tanakhama says the straps of the tefillin make one's hands tummy when they're attached to the tefillin. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Shimon that only touching the katzitza, the leather boxes, renders one's hands tameh. And Rabbi Zakeh says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that one's hands only become tameh if they touch the mezuzah, the scroll of the tefillin itself. So the rookie scribe took his quill and practiced writing on unprocessed hide the size of a kameya, when all of a sudden he realized his hands were tameh from touching his tefillin scrolls that were written on klaf, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa that it's a halakha of Moshe Mitzrayim that tefillin must be written on klaf, which is the outer layer of the hide, and a mezuzah must be written on duchsustus, which is the inner layer of the hide. When one writes on the klaf, he must write on the side of the klaf that originally faced the flesh of the animal, and when writing on duchsustus, he must write on the side that originally faced the hair of the animal. This braisa was brought as one of the many challenges to Rav, who said that tefillin may also be written on duchsustus. The Gemara deflects this challenge by saying that the halakha of Moshe Mitzrayim may be only stating how to fulfill the mitzvah of writing the tefillin in the best way possible. However, tefillin written on duchsustus may still be kosher. So once again, the rookie scribe took his quill and practiced writing on unprocessed hide the size of kameya, when all of a sudden he realized his hands were tummy from touching his tefillin scrolls that were written on klaf. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Daf ein hay. So the simra ein hay is an amma art. So here goes. The amma arts, that means run daf ein hay. The Amha Arts try to predict weather patterns, which reminds us, it was said in the Rebbe of Yochanan that the source said it's a mitzvah on a person to calculate the tekufos and the mezalos, the progression of the seasons and the position of the constellations. It's from the pasuk Ushmartim v'asisim kihi chachmaschem ivinaschem v'nei ha'amim. You shall safeguard and perform them, for is your wisdom and discernment in the eyes of the nations. Now, what wisdom and discernment are there in the eyes of the nations? It's the calculation of the tekufos and the mezalos. And Rashi explains that one can know for certain if someone truly has wisdom in these areas because it can be seen if he's able to correctly predict weather patterns which are based upon the movement of the sun and constellations. So the Amma Arts try to predict weather patterns by squeezing out the blood from the chilazon and looking at his blue dye, which reminds us there's a malchokas anan brought in a brisa regarding the trapping of a chilazon and squeezing it with one's hands to extract the blood in order to produce blue dye. Rav Yehuda holds that he's liable for the trapping and for the squeezing as well, since Patsia b'Kladish, squeezing is a tolda of threshing. The Rabban hold he's only liable for trapping, since Patsia l'b'Kladish, squeezing is not a tolda of threshing. Rav explains that according to the Rabban, threshing only applies to gedulei karka, things that grow from the ground. So the Amma'ar try to predict weather patterns by squeezing out the blood from the chilazon and looking at its blue dye, proudly storing away its broken shell fragments that everyone else considered worthless. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states another general rule, kla acher, that whatever is fit to store, and people usually store in a certain quantity, meaning an amount fitting to be stored, and one carried it on Shabbos, one is liable to bring a chatas. The Mishnah continues that whatever is not fit to store, since it's not used by people, or it's used by people, but it's not a quantity that people store away for later use, then only a person who stored it away would be liable a chatas for carrying it out on Shabbos. Rashi explains that the person took a liking to the object and stored it away. Others who carried out the same item would be exempt, since the majority of people do not consider it, or its size, significant enough. Daf Ein Vav. So the simple Ein Vav is an IV tube. So here goes. The patient who forced himself to eat camel food combined with some more stringent cow food to win a bet was hooked up on the IV tube. IV tube, that means Ron Daf Ein Vav. So the patient who forced himself to eat camel food, which reminds us, when Rabin came to Bavel, he said there was a machlokas in a case where one carried out bean straw, etza, which is typically fed to camels in a large quantity to feed a cow. Rabbi Yochanan said the one who carried it out is exempt, since cows do not usually eat this, and achila ideat chak, losh me achila, eating in a forced way is not considered eating. Even though it's considered a normal eating for a camel, the amount that he carried out for the cow is not enough to feed a camel. Reish Lakish said he's liable because he holds achila ideat chak, shme achila, eating in a forced way is considered eating. So the patient who forced himself to eat camel food combined with some more stringent cow food to win a bet, which reminds us, the Mishnah say that items with different measurements, in order to be liable when carrying them outside, cannot be combined with each other. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said that they cannot be combined for the more stringent of them, the more chamur of them, but they can be combined for the more lenient, the more kal of them. Rashi explains that a feed whose minimum amount is large is considered kal, lenient, and one whose minimum amount is small is considered more chamur, more stringent. Therefore, camel feed, which is considered lenient, cannot be combined with cow feed to complete the minimum amount of a cow's mouthful, but cow feed, which is considered more chamur, more stringent, can be combined with camel feed to complete the minimum amount of a camel's mouthful. So the patient who forced himself to eat camel food, combined with some more stringent cow food to win a bet, was hooked up on the IV tube and told that he could only drink a revius of any liquid. Which reminds us, the opening mission of the 8th parak lists the minimum measures of various beverages and liquids, such as wine, milk, honey, oil, and water, to be liable for carrying on Shabbos. The Talmud Kama holds that all other liquids are a revius. Rabbi Shimon holds that all liquids are revius. The smaller measurements only apply to one who stored those substances in such small quantities. Daf Ein Zayin. So the Simra Ein Zayin is an aze, a goat. So here goes. The stubborn goat, that means we're on Daf Ein Sein. The stubborn goat was smashing the kazesim of congealed wine and blood with his horns, which reminds us, Rabbi Yosef said that Rabbi Nassan was discussing congealed wine, and Rabbi Yosef and Yehuda, who was discussing congealed blood of an avela, both hold that a ravias of a liquid substance will congeal into a solid substance the size of a kazayas. Abai suggests that this is not necessarily so. Perhaps Rabbi Nassan only holds this for congealed wine, which is a thin liquid and loses much of its volume when it congeals, but blood which is thicker may not require ravias to produce a kazayas when congealed. And perhaps Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda only holds this for congealed blood, which is thick and doesn't lose much of its volume when it congeals, but wine, which is a thin liquid, requires more than a ravias to congeal into kazayas. So the stubborn goat was smashing the kazesim congealed wine and butter with his horns to get rid of the swarm of flies and gnats, which reminds us of Yehuda saying the name of Rav. Kol ma shebara kosh baruch hu b'olamo labara davar echru v'tala. In all that a kosh baruch hu created in his world, he did not create even one thing needlessly. Among the few examples he brought are, the slug was created as a remedy for a sore, the fly was created as a cure for the sting of a hornet. Rashi explains that one crushes the fly and places it on the place of the sting. The gnat was created to be a cure for a snake bite. So the stubborn goat was smashing kazesim of congealed wine and blood with his horns to get rid of the swarm of flies and gnats when he spotted a traveling salesman selling cloaks, overcoats, and sudras for those who fear Hashem. Which reminds us, Rabbi Zera once encountered Rabbi Yehuda was in a lighthearted mood, so he decided to ask him about curiosities in the world, such as the meaning of names of various items. Rabbi Yehuda answered, an outer cloak is called a lebusha because wearing it keeps one from being embarrassed, lebusha. An overcoat is called the glima, because one who wears it is shapeless like a golem. And a head wrap worn by the rabbis is called the sudra, because the secrets of Hashem are revealed to those who fear Him. Sod Hashem l'riyav. Daf Ein Ches. So the Simfra Ein Ches is a child going ugh. So here goes. The child went ugh, ugh. That means run Daf Ein Ches. The child went ugh as he spit out the terrible tasting medicine made of wine and honey. Which reminds us, Abai stated the following rule for determining the shear of a substance that one is liable for carrying, if that substance has more than one use. Any substance that has two uses, one common and one not common, the Rabbanim follow the common use to determine the minimum share for liability, even if this results in a leniency. For example, wine's common use is for drinking, while its use for healing is uncommon. The Rabbanim therefore followed its use for drinking, which is a large measure, even though this results in a kula, in a leniency. Any substance that has two uses, both of which are common, the Rabbanim followed the common use that results in astringency. For example, honey is used both for eating as well as for healing. So the Rabbanim followed its use for healing even though it results in astringency since a smaller amount of honey is required for healing purposes. So the child went ugh as he spit out the terrible tasting medicine made of wine and honey all over the paper receipt, which reminds us the next Mishnah continues to identify the minimum shear for various substances, including this list are paper enough to write a tax collector's receipt, a kesher mochsin, a raised paper enough to wrap around the mouth of a small flask of balsam oil, hide or enough to make a kameya, parchment enough to write the smallest parsh of tefillin, which is Shema Yisrael. So the child went ugh as he spit out the terrible tasting medicine made of wine and honey all over the paper receipt, when all of a sudden there was a knock on the door, and it was a tax collector's runner. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Brisa that according to the Tanna Kamma, one is only liable for carrying a tax collector's receipt, a kesher mochsin, if he has not yet shown it to the tax collector. Once he has, it no longer has a use, and therefore one is no longer liable for carrying it. Rabbi Yehuda holds that he's still liable since he has a need for it. There's machlokes about what Rabbi Yehuda meant that he has a need for it. Abai says he will retain the receipt in case the tax collector sends runners after him, the check of his taxes are paid. If he couldn't prove he paid, he'd be brought back to the official to be cleared. Rabbi Yehuda holds that he would keep the receipt to avoid this. Rav and Rav Ashi bring alternative pshatim. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here goes. Number 1, which daf do we learn the meaning behind words for various types of clothes? That's on daf. Ein Zayin. Good. Number 2, which daf do we learn that the shear for unprocessed hide is the same shear as processed hide, which is a kameya? That's on daf. Ein Tes. Good. Number 3, which daf do we have a machlokes whether achila yidei et chak is considered achila? That's on daf. Ein Vav. Great. Number 4, which daf do we have a discussion whether there's a use for a kesher mochsin, a tax collector's receipt? That's on daf. Ein Ches. Great. Number 5, which daf do we learn that Munbaz says that a tinuk ben anachrim would be patur from a chatas? That's on daf. Samaches. Great. Number 6. Which stuff you machlokes regarding which part of the tefillin makes one's hands tamei? That's on daf. Ayin Tes. Great. Number 7. Which stuff do we learn that everything is created for a purpose, including gnats and flies? That's on daf. Ayin Zayin. Great. Number 8. Which stuff we have machlokes regarding what is the minimum shear for liquids? That's on daf. Ayin Vav. Great. Number 9. Which stuff do we learn what the shear is for something that has two different uses? That's on daf. Ayin Ches. Good. And finally, number 10. Which stuff do we learn about Chiluk Malachas based on the Pasuk Lo Savaru Eish? That's on daf. Ayin. Good. Now the three bonus questions from Masechus Brachos. Number 1. Which stuff do we learn that one should not use a tefillin bag for other uses? That's on daf. Chav Gimel. Great. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn about Chiluk is whether Kriyishma is a Deraisa or Derabanan? That's on daf. Chafav. Great. Number 3. Which daf do we learn what one does if he forgot Yal V'Yavo in davening or benching? That's on daf. Mem test. Excellent. That concludes our pop quiz plus the three bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avram Golder from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.